Hello everyone, this is Darwin with the Evolution of Leaders show, where I help people and teams grow and improve. Today's guest is George Ross. He has done more major real estate deals in New York than any other lawyer. That's amazing if you just stop and think about it. He was President Donald Trump's right-hand man for decades, but you may best recognize him as a judge on The Apprentice TV show. Now, whatever you may think of President Trump's politics, George Ross has a genius mind and helped to develop kind of the Trump brand and associate it with luxury. It was most interesting to me when he described, you'll see it, Trump is a patriot, but that we'll never get to see it. In light of today's political climate, it's insightful, his views on emphasizing strengths and how we can compensate for our weaknesses. Have a listen. Let me know what you think. George, how are you?
I am great, Darwin. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for coming on. So, George, as we start off, I was wondering if you could tell us, what do you think are the key leadership or personality traits for someone to have success?
Yeah, that's a relatively easy question, but it's a very good question. In order to have success, you have to be honest. You have to come across. You can't come across like you are. You can't feign something that you're not. People see through that in immediate. So people have to like you and have to trust you. If they like you and trust you, you can do lots of all kinds of things. If they don't, you're in trouble. So it's creating a feeling of that we can work together. We can live. We trust each other, and it's a friendly atmosphere.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. In the past, you've written about President Trump having a strong ability to delegate, and then there's an important dynamic here. Yeah, between strengths and understanding weaknesses. And I wonder if you can tell us a bit more about that.
No, that's the key to any successful organization of any size. The people at the top or the person at the top has to have confidence in those that are lower down, because they're the ones really that are in the trenches. They're going to be doing all of the work. So all you really had to do, and I did it with Donald, was he would tell me what he wanted done, and it was my job to do it. That's all. We never talked unless there was a problem that came up. He didn't come in and overlook or say, want to see the interim papers. He passed it off, and he was satisfied. Well, if you're not directly involved, do you know that the CEO of a company, you can do an unlimited number of transactions?
And you've shifted your role somewhat, where you're a coach now for highly successful business leaders, including J.D. Fox, which is how we got linked up here.
When I was working, if you go back, I think a good part of what I did was I coached the president, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But it wasn't coaching at the time. I was an advisor, a trusted advisor. But isn't that what a coach is?
So what value do you think a coach or advisor brings?
Oh, there's no question. Coach or advisor in any business with anyone is extremely valuable, because they should come not having any financial responsibility or interest in your business, but they have an interest in you as a person and being successful. And they should tell you unfettered what they think, not what you might want to hear. So the objectivity that a good coach brings to the table with any people that he's mentoring, and that's invaluable.
And you've been very clear in the past that you provide your opinion, but that the person you're coaching is finally—it's their decision. Which
it is their decision. Yeah. In other words, I'd say this is what I think, what I recommend. Their liberty to do it that way, my way, any way they want. It's their decision, and I don't underwrite the end result. All I'm saying, this is what I would recommend based on the information which you gave me, or I have.
So it seems to me that you bring not only, you know, your advice when you're advising the person, but that you're also facilitating kind of a self-awareness and allowing the person to think through and to think at a deeper level.
That's absolutely correct. And what I try to focus on, or have the people that I'm coaching focus on, is where they have, what traits they have which are inadequate, where they're not good. So if you can't remember things, write them down or have notes. If you have a shortcoming somewhere along the way that you have trouble speaking or communicating, then that's what you got to solve. If you understand your weaknesses, you can move to correct them and then they'll be fine. Most people at this point refuse to recognize their weaknesses. They say, and they just go past it. And that's a shame, because then they're lacking the communication skills that are required to be extremely successful in any negotiation or operation. So it's self-concern or self, what I would say, review that is extremely important. People should understand and recognize where they're strong and when they're weak. Where you are weak, get somebody or some help that'll strengthen those weaknesses. And where you're strong, you don't need anybody to tell you what to do because you're already strong. So it's getting people to give you the guidance that you need in areas where you need guidance.
So George, regardless of where a person lands with Donald Trump, it's fair to say that he takes a fair bit of criticism that's lodged against him. So
that is
what's an effective way leader?
That's the biggest understatement of the time. Yes.
So what's an effective way a leader can deal with feedback, whether it's constructive or destructive?
No, when you see feedback, it depends on who's giving it and where it's coming from. Right. Now, if you answer everything the way you might like to answer it, all you do is you're fueling more fire, more flames going back and forth. You're making it worse. You have to take the information that you're getting from the source. And as far as Donald was concerned, they were after him in day one. Mm-hmm. He should have been impeached. He shouldn't have been president. There was an illegal situation. That was their mantra. And they've had it for the last 4 years. So with that, the attack was not on what he was, what he did. The attack was who they thought he was and his personality. And he is a fighter. He fights back and will continue to fight back because they're impugning his integrity, and that's what they shouldn't do. He is, in my estimation, the ultimate patriot. That's in my estimation. But you never see it out because the politics get in the way.
Best leaders do to grow going forward, then?
The best is to do what they think they should do, and come up with their own decisions and take all the criticism that comes with it. Doesn't have to be popular. You have to do what you think the job requires, as difficult as it may be. And okay. If you do that, you can live with yourself, regardless of who's trying to tell you this isn't what you shouldn't do or you should. If you're not in the position of power, you can't make decisions for someone who is in the position of power. They know a lot of things different than you do, and they make what they think is an appropriate decision to decide at the time. But all the critics will always say, you shouldn't have done that. Wouldn't make any difference. If he came out with something they liked, they're not going to say they like it at that point. He should have done it sooner. If he comes out with something they don't like, they'll come with it right away. So it's just being subject to complete criticism. Now, that does not work in an organization. And it really doesn't work in the government where you're in control of the situation, where you're in control of the country or the power or the White House. It doesn't. You can't let the inmates run the asylum.
What's something that you might have learned from a mentor, one of the key lessons that maybe really guided you throughout your career and your life?
That's good. That's another good question. What guided me was that I learned how people react to things that I say, how they negotiate. And I also learned from it, don't trust anybody. Anybody. Mm. When the stakes are high enough, they will turn. So if it's a question of money, they will turn. If it's a question of prestige, they will turn. If they think it's in their best interest, financially or otherwise, they will do it. And that goes for everybody. So I learned that this not to trust, be wary, and you find out that you're much better off because you weren't trapped.
That's an interesting response in light of what you were saying earlier, where honesty, you know, and being trustworthy is the most important trait.
No, that's for you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's for you, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to tell it like it is. So you never have to defend the truth. You have to defend a lie. Mm-hmm. So if you now tell the truth, this is it. You really believe that, come out with it. On the other side, I don't believe what other people say. I'm not saying it's truthful or not truthful, but I take it carefully depending upon the circumstances and who I'm hearing it from, what's going on at the time. So I analyze what is being said and then make a decision based on my analysis, not on the words.
Is there a particular mistake that you see leaders making more frequently than others?
Yeah, I think it is that they don't recognize the fact that the people working for them or underlings are subject to change depending upon what they think is their best interests. So you say, do I have somebody who really trusts, who I can really trust? The answer is generally no. Can I trust them? Yes, but in certain situations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So could I trust them with $1,000? Yes. Could I trust them with $100 million? Could be a different story.
Okay.
So it's a question of degree.
Yeah. So looking back, if we can profit from more of your wisdom and experiences here, what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of?
Mm-hmm.
I'm most proud of exactly what I'm doing now.
Oh.
In other words, I am now most proud of saying, look, I've accomplished in my lifetime, and I'm 92 years old, so there's plenty of years behind me, that what I've accomplished in my life, I'm satisfied monetarily, emotionally, family. I'm totally content. And saying that business today is so different than it was years ago. It's so involved. It's so tense. That if I can share my knowledge and wisdom with somebody who can use it, that's on the way up. Notice, understand, I have been where you are. You have not been where I am. Mm. So I'm not saying if I can do it, that's good. That's any teacher. The benefit of the teaching relationship is that the pupil learns and does something better because of what you said. So it's a question of improvement. That's what I find, and it's very gratifying. So now what has happened is as a result of the virus and the fact that there are no longer big events, my mega events for JT, and he's not over the world, I am now coaching people from all over the world, same way we're doing on a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't have the opportunity to do one-on-one. I was never asked to do one-on-one.
I see.
Now we're doing one-on-one. We're having a talk. I can look at you. You're looking at me. You can ask me any questions. We're not impeded by the surroundings. And that makes a big difference.
What's one thing you would have done differently looking back?
One thing I would have done differently looking back? No, there isn't. I can't say there's anything I would have done differently looking back.
Okay.
And when I say looking back, as long as I did what I thought was appropriate at the time in my own mind, I'm satisfied regardless of the result. You can always say, well, if I did this, it might have come better. If I did that, what? You can always second guess. But I've always had the confidence of my convictions and said, I did what I thought was appropriate at the time, and whatever happened, happened. But I was right in what I did, even if it turned out poorly.
So how about learning from mistakes or failures, which we all have?
That's what you learn.
Yeah, how has it shaped you?
You learn from mistakes and failures. You don't learn from success.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you fail and you get something doing, you get that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach. Why did I fail? And you look at it carefully. What did I do wrong? What happened? And that you learn from. When it goes successful, you can say, oh, I can't do anything wrong at that point. I'm successful. Now you're misleading yourself. So you don't learn from success, you learn from failure. I once wrote, as a matter of fact, it was J.T. Fox who asked me to define success. And I defined it as failure plus perseverance equals success. And I firmly believe that. So if you have the perseverance to overcome what you failed at and find out how I can make myself better, then you will be successful for going on or any time.
What a fascinating interview. I'm very grateful for George's time. He's a very busy fellow. I had a good chuckle when he talked about President Trump and how he was criticized. But I like how he framed success as being failure plus perseverance, which is, I thought, a very succinct way of how to deal with failure. It's great how he's committed to mentoring others. He mentions his age in the interview briefly, but if you listen to him and what he writes about and talks about, he is honest about how he wants to spend kind of his remaining days, and it's in helping others. And I really honor that, respect that. Having had a professional coach, personally, I can attest to the life changes that coaching can bring about. And that's a big part of also why I became a coach. If you're interested in learning more about this, please go to my website, evolutionofleaders.com. If you enjoyed this video or channel, please like and subscribe. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much.